In the mountains of Tibet, nomads rely on the yak as the basis of their meager economy. Yaks are big, really big, but only produce about as much milk as a goat. Now, American cheesemaker Jonathan White is helping Tibetan nomads turn that scarce resource into cheese and working with them to market it in the West. Jonathan White joins me now in the studio with a hunk of yak cheese in between us. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Now, before we start eating, tell us why, first of all, you went to Tibet.
Why I went? Well, actually, I was sent there by the Trace Foundation, which is a philanthropy based in New York City, to develop a cheese for the world market. Basically, the nomads have, they're one of the poorest communities in Asia. And for 100 days every summer, they have a surplus of milk. Other than that, the word surplus just doesn't figure into their lives. And Trace had built a couple of cheese factories there in the hopes of building some economic self-reliance for the nomads. But the cheese that they were making wasn't something that would appeal to the West.
How well is the cheese sold for the export market?
Basically, it's been sold out as long as it's been available here. It's been very, very well received. On its merits as a cheese, I mean, it's a great story, and people like the idea that they're helping keep a nomad community healthy and vibrant, but it also happens to be a spectacularly nice cheese, which is not a coincidence. These are semi-wild animals living in nomadic herds at about 14,000 feet above sea level in an absolutely pristine environment.
And that affects the cheese?
Absolutely. Animals that live outdoors in clean, fresh air, drinking clean water, eating a natural diet of genetically varied vegetation produces a much richer, much more culinarily rich milk, which then, when you turn it into cheese, all those flavors get concentrated.
Why don't you cut us a slice?
Sure. This wheel was made actually on September 11th.
Hmm.
Yeah. So this is late season. September is about the end of the milk season there.
Mm-hmm.
Winter comes very abruptly in late September in Tibet. So at this point, the animals were eating fairly dry pasture. And this cheese, compared to the cheese that we made in August, this cheese is a little bit woodier and more herbal, where the stuff that was made in August was more grassy and green. It takes this cheese a good minute to really express itself. In fact, it's the second bite. It's where you'll start to
I just had my second bite.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm tasting it. It's very, very light.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. People hear yak and Tibet and nomad, and they expect something really big and in your face. And actually, my reputation as a cheesemaker is for sort of big, bold, in-your-face
flavors. This is not bold.
This is not bold. This is all about subtle and delicate, because it's really about the grass.
Can I have another
and
piece?
The climate. Sure.
This is really good. When you made the cheese, did the Tibetans you were working with eat the cheese? Do they like it?
Well, at first, no. And in fact, I brought with me some of my New York grass-fed cow's milk cheeses, just because I figured if they're going to be making cheese, they should see what cheese is supposed to look like. And they were very polite, and they said, oh, yes, it's quite delicious, excuse me. They'd go out and walk outside. And but, you know, it's just something they're not used to. The one thing the Tibetans completely loved was just for the fun of it, I started making yak mozzarella. And
how did that go over?
It was a huge success. I mean, it's a totally impractical product for them because they have no transportation, they have no refrigeration, and mozzarella doesn't keep. But that was a huge hit.
Well, you have to cut some more cheese.
Sure.
And while you're cutting some, I'd like to ask what the effect has been, thank you, on cheese sales on the Tibetan community that you're working with.
Well, the way it works is, first of all, the Tibetan nomads are getting paid above the world price for their milk. So there's direct benefit to the nomads because they have cash income from the milk, which they've never had before, which they were using to buy things like shoes, corrugated iron for their winter homes, for the roofs, because they basically live in compacted earth huts during the winter. And you can imagine a couple sheets of corrugated iron could be a major change of quality of life. One gentleman showed me, he had a cousin in the city who had gotten him a solar panel and a compact fluorescent lamp, which he was proudly explaining to me would save him 40 kilos of butter over the winter because they use butter to light their lamps.
So when are you going to go back?
Well, I'll be back sometime this summer to train another class of cheesemakers. But I have to tell you, it's not easy traveling.
How do you get there?
Well, you fly into the city of Xining, and then it's about a 12-hour drive to, there's a monastery where I spent the night. And then the next morning, it's about another 3 or 4 hours overlands on a non-road. Mm-hmm. And when you get there, you're in a deep valley at about 13,000 feet. There are no place names there because they're nomads. We name this cheese Rajya, which is the name of the monastery, the village where the monastery is. But that's 3-4 hours away. But it's the nearest place name. So we're talking the edge of civilization. And yet, there's 12 million yaks out there.
Jonathan White, master cheesemaker when not in Tibet. He runs the Grasslands Cheese Consortium in New York's Hudson Valley, and that's where he helps American dairy farmers become cheesemakers. Thanks a lot, Jonathan.
Thanks for having me.
And this yak tidbit for those of you Trivial Pursuit lovers. Cheesemaker White says the color of yak milk is most definitely not pink, no matter what the game card says on the other side. White says yak's milk is the color of fresh cow's milk, yellowy white. And he warns that pink milk from any animal should be avoided at all costs. Check out more about yaks and their cheese at our website, npr.org.
Take out the papers and the trash.
Don't hold back.
Just finish cleaning up your room. Let's see that dust car with that broom. Get all that garbage out of sight. Or you don't go out Friday night. Yaggity yak!
Don't hold back.
You just put on your